Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Here's a live look at Dual Doppler 5000 radar. After seeing drizzle and showers for much of the day, we're finally seeing the back edge of it moving on out. I'll show you when the sunshine returns.
Also, breaking news this noon, UNC is apologizing for a data leak that put more than 1,000 people at risk for identity fraud. What the university says was behind this leak.
Also, we now know the name and charges against a man who drove his car onto the tarmac at Wilmington Airport.
The rain that we've been dealing with this morning is beginning to taper off in parts of our viewing area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what time that rain is moving out of your area.
It's on its way, which I think a lot of folks may be happy about. We're seeing the back edge of it right here around the Triangle area. It's moved out of Fayetteville. It's moved out of Sanford and Pittsburgh and even Durham and Chapel Hill for the most part. Now, there could be one more quick sprinkle late today as the very last bit of the cloud cover moves on out. But we'll zoom in here in Wake County. You can see this band of showers that's just moved through Fuquay, Garner, Wendell, Clayton, and that continues to slide eastward, getting ready to move through Roanoke Rapids. But that's going to be the end of it. We're still seeing very wet conditions across the area. It's wet here in downtown Raleigh as we take a live look from the Sheraton camera, and you can see all the water on the camera lens as we're looking down Fayetteville Street. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see that back edge of the precipitation zipping on out of here. So we're mostly finished with it by, say, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in our eastern counties. And Futurecast beginning to show a few breaks in the clouds by 5 o'clock. We will see clearing overnight tonight, and we'll see cold temperatures. And then on Saturday, it looks like it's going to be a nice dry day, but it may be on the chilly side. You can watch our hour-by-hour forecast. You see how we drop from 30% to 20%, again, just for a sprinkle, maybe late as that last bit moves on out. Once we get past a beautiful Saturday, we're back to rain again for a good bit of Sunday. I'll show you the timeline for that coming up.
And back to that breaking news this noon. WRAL has confirmed a data leak at UNC Chapel Hill exposed more than 1,000 Social Security numbers. The university says human error played a role in tax forms being sent to the wrong people. WRAL's Joe Fisher is live on campus for us this noon. And Joe, this came to light after you started asking questions.
Jeff, this data leak happened back in late January. We're talking about names, addresses, Social Security numbers, and personal tax identification numbers. The university says they first found out about this issue on January 30th, but we're now learning it took more than a month, or about a month, to alert those affected by this breach. This involves 1099 IRS tax forms used for contractors of the university. UNC says it sent about 3,400 forms in 2,200 envelopes. This means about 1,000 people or so had their tax form with sensitive information sent to the wrong place. UNC mailed the forms out on January 25th. They confirmed the mistake 5 days later on the 30th, saying it was caused by human error and a processing issue. But a letter was not sent to those contractors until February 28th. That was last Tuesday, about a month after they discovered the problem. UNC is offering credit monitoring and a year of identity theft protection to those affected by the leak. In a statement, UNC tells me, "We deeply regret any concern or inconvenience this incident may have caused. In response to the incident, the university implemented updated processes, technical improvements, and employee training to help prevent something like this from happening again." UNC says at this point, they have no confirmation that anyone's information was misused because of this breach. We did talk with experts today. They tell me that it is a good idea for those people impacted by this breach or any breach to, of course, monitor their credit and file a police report. Jeff.
Thanks for reporting, Joe. Joe Fisher, live on campus at UNC Chapel Hill.
New at noon, deputies have identified the man who drove a car into the terminal at Wilmington International Airport. WRAL's Brian Schrader is following the investigation. Brian, what do we know?
Michelle, about 10:15 this morning, we learned the man's identity, and we're also learning more about the charges he is now facing. New Hanover County deputies say that this man, Trey Anthony Dvorak, faces several state and federal charges. They include assault with a deadly weapon on a government official and speeding to elude arrest. Deputies say that Dvorak drove through a fence at the airport and onto the tarmac last night. After engaging with deputies, they say that he crashed through the entrance of the terminal, as you see here. A TSA agent suffered minor injuries in all of this and did go to the hospital. We're still working to learn more about that person's condition. The airport remained open through the incident. Now, Dvorak is being held right now on a $50,000 bond. His first court appearance is this afternoon. Right now, WRL's Matt Tallhelm is in Wilmington looking for answers. Look for his reports beginning today at 4 here on WRL News. Michelle.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Four people are expected to be okay after their medical helicopter crashed in western North Carolina. This crash happened last night in Macon County near the Georgia border. A health system out of Tennessee says the helicopter was transporting a patient along with three crew members to Mission Hospital in Asheville. That's when it went down. All four suffered minor injuries, and miraculously, the pilot was not hurt.
New at noon here in the WRL Live Center, the Wake County Sheriff's Office and the FBI are investigating the death of a former inmate who was arrested last weekend. Take a look at the paperwork just into the WRL newsroom. It shows that 37-year-old Jasmine Price experienced some type of overdose of a substance investigators have not been able to identify. She was then transported to the hospital over the weekend. Now, while at Wake Med yesterday, her bond was adjusted and she was released from Wake County's custody. A short time later, she died at the hospital. A lot of questions surrounding this case. The FBI is trying to sort it all out. The FBI will present its findings to the Wake County DA. Of course, the Wake County Sheriff's Office conducting its own internal investigation.
Thanks, Ken. The jobs market is staying hot. The February report shows employers added 311,000 jobs last month, much more than the 225,000 economists were expecting. Normally, that would be good news, but experts say this continued growth means the Federal Reserve's efforts to tame inflation aren't paying off just yet. Caroline Shively explains what it means for interest rates.
I think we got a good jobs report.
President Biden reacting to the February unemployment number on Friday. On news, the economy added 311,000 jobs.
Today's job numbers is clear. Our economy is moving in the right direction.
That number is higher than economists predicted, but the wage growth of 0.2% is a slight dip from January.
I see this really as more of a mixed news report.
Despite cooling wage hikes, a hotter than expected labor market can still feed inflation, putting pressure on Federal Reserve members to raise interest rates once again at their meeting March 22nd, following months of substantial hikes.
This probably makes the Fed a little more cautious about doing 50 basis points instead of 25 basis points, but they're going to hike for a while.
We're going to whip it.
This comes one day after the president presented his budget proposal for the 2024 fiscal year. It adds $2.6 trillion in new spending over the next 10 years, but brings in $5.5 trillion more in revenue thanks to tax hikes on the wealthy. It's also dead on arrival in the Republican-controlled House.
And what does this budget do? Raise more taxes, spends more money.
There's no making sense of what he's saying because it is economically illiterate.
And stocks are wavering this noon just a bit coming off of this news. Dow Jones Industrial Average hovering around 98 points down right now. S&P 500 down marginally, just 12 points this noon. NASDAQ is down 63 points.
Counselors will be on hand once again at Carrboro High School today after the death of a student. Hundreds of family and friends gathered last night to mourn 15-year-old Roberto Diletto. His body was pulled from Jordan Lake yesterday morning after 2 days of searching for him. Diletto and a family member were riding jet skis Tuesday night when he had engine trouble. His family member went to grab a tow rope, but when they returned, Diletto was gone.
I'm really sad, but I'm also in some disbelief. Like, did this really happen? This was just 2 days ago. We were laughing. And so it feels unreal.
There is a GoFundMe page to support Diletto's family. We've posted a link to it on WREL.com.
A driver now faces DWI charges after getting into two crashes in one day. This was the scene at the second crash last night at the intersection of Old US 70 and Shotwell Road in Clayton. Authorities say a woman in the silver car ran a red light and T-boned an SUV. Everyone in the SUV was okay, but all three people in the silver car were taken to the hospital. Just hours earlier, that silver car was involved in a different crash in Johnston County, but the driver was not charged then. No word yet on whether Governor Roy Cooper will sign a bill meant to toughen punishment for violent protesters. It was passed in response to the 2020 riots that left many downtown businesses damaged in Raleigh. This was after the murder of George Floyd. Supporters say the bill discourages violence and does not affect your First Amendment rights. Critics say it's unconstitutional and think it will prevent people instead from exercising their right to protest. Cooper vetoed a similar bill 2 years ago.
We carry them with us. That's the theme of this year's Heytai Film Festival in Durham. This year's festival features virtual and in-person screenings of documentaries and workshops. The schedule includes something for everyone with a focus on topics like family, love, trauma, even history. The Heytai Film Festival is the oldest Southern film festival in the nation.
A very meaningful event coming our way. Next at noon, a triple homicide by a stalker. How a man broke into a home and killed a couple and the protection order against him.
Also, winter weather coast to coast, where the storm is moving now after weeks of rain and snow in the west.
Plus, St. Patrick's Day festivities in Raleigh tomorrow at 12:30. The new safety plan in place for the parade.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Police say a Washington State couple is dead after a stalker broke into their home and killed the couple, then turned the gun on himself. The woman's mother was also inside that home, but managed to escape. This all happened around 2:30 this morning. Officers found the woman and the stalker dead inside the home. The husband was shot to death on the front lawn. Emergency crews did try to save him, but they were unsuccessful. Officers say the woman had a no-contact order against the shooter. And a Texas mother is accused of abandoning her children for 2 months to live with a man in Alabama. Police say Raven Yates left her 12-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son by themselves with little food or medicine. And while they struggled, she posted images online, fully aware there was a warrant out for her arrest. Officers in Alabama arrested her after tips poured in from the public. If convicted, she could spend 20 years in prison.
To help reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions up in the atmosphere, researchers are looking to solutions deep below the earth. Jackie Ibanez takes a look at some innovative projects designed to reduce the negative effects of climate change.
The Environmental Protection Agency says carbon dioxide and methane are some of the primary greenhouse gases behind the ongoing climate crisis. And while they're released into the atmosphere when we burn fossil fuels, the EPA says they're also leaking from the millions of abandoned gas and oil wells across the country.
In Colorado, there are upwards of 500 orphan wells.
Now, lawmakers in Colorado are seeking a solution that could be implemented nationwide, and it lies in a product called biochar.
We take non-merchable waste wood, either dead trees or forest fire debris. We put it through a chemical reaction and we convert it into pure carbon.
Government leaders are now considering whether to use biochar to seal off the wells, citing its potential to act like a filter and prevent carbon dioxide and methane emissions from escaping.
We have now started to inject the first CO2.
Meanwhile, overseas, leaders in Denmark have ordered carbon dioxide to be pumped into an empty oil reservoir below the North Sea. CO2 gas from a plant in Belgium is being shipped to the injection site in liquid form. In the future, carbon dioxide from Denmark and other European countries will also be pumped below the seabed.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. In order to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, as set by the Paris Climate Agreement, experts say a billion tons of carbon dioxide must be removed from the atmosphere by 2025.
A driver in Maine lost his battle to keep his vegan-positive license plate. Peter Starostecki says he received a letter from the DMV back in January telling him that he had to get rid of his license plate. The plate reads, "Love Tofu," because he's a vegan. But state officials argue the plates could be interpreted as vulgar because of the last two letters of the plate. He appealed the decision, but it was rejected.
I've never had anybody come up to and be aggressive with me, flick me off, tell me that it's inappropriate. Every time that I ever have a comment about it, it's something positive.
And the state noted plates have to be looked at without context. The plate owner says he now agrees with the state and will not press the issue any longer.
Sounds legit when you say it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
After weeks of soaking rain and heavy snow all across the West, another strong atmospheric front is setting its sights on California and much of the rest of the Western U.S. Maggie Vespa is in Detroit now, where residents there are also bracing for more snow.
It's really coming down here in the Motor City with up to 6 inches of snow expected here in Detroit by tonight. And meanwhile, out on the West Coast, a new atmospheric river is barreling into California, dumping rain and snow on parts of that state that, as we know, are already inundated after a record-setting winter. Tens of thousands losing power overnight, evacuation orders popping up and down the state with 16 million people under flood watches. Just this morning, 34 counties at last check under states of emergency, including five in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're expecting potential flooding and landslides there. So all of that in mind, Governor Gavin Newsom is now asking President Biden for a state of emergency to declare a federal one, possibly freeing up federal resources to, again, help the hardest hit parts of that state. As all of that plays out west, again, here in the Midwest, millions waking up to scenes like this, knowing that as this system moves through, a second one appears to be on the way, set to slam parts of the upper Midwest and the high plains with heavy, again, rain, wind, and snow later on tonight. Back to you.
Well, those folks are looking like, okay, it's March.
Right.
Can we move on now?
What's going on here? Yeah, we haven't seen any snow at all.
No.
This season. It's crazy. Even my parents up in New York, I think they saw one snow the entire winter. It's crazy. Crazy
stuff. Too soon.
Yeah, I know, right? They're like, thanks, Michelle. Great. Well, we're not seeing any snow here, but we did see some rain earlier in the day, still off to our east, but it's moving out, Elizabeth.
It is. It's on its way out of here now, pretty much right on time. It looked like right around lunchtime, we would start to see this exiting stage right there. And we still have a couple of isolated showers in a few spots. We're going to zoom in down here. You can see it's moving out of Sampson County, out of Clinton, and off to the east. Looks like it's already moved completely through Wayne County. Up here around Roanoke Rapids, seeing the last bit of that sliding eastward and out of the viewing area. So we give it another, say, 30 minutes, and we should be completely done with it. We're looking at some clouds beyond that, though, and there could be, once that last bit of cloud cover slides eastward, watch what happens. At 5 o'clock, it looks like we're beginning to clear a little bit, and then there's a quick little shower that pops up near the Virginia line. So that could be around 7 or 8 o'clock, but it would be in and out really quickly. After that, sky is clear, and we're going to see a nice, bright day tomorrow. But right now, it's still messy out there. Even though it looks like the rain is over in Durham, you can see it looks like there's still a little bit of drizzle left that may not be showing up on the radar. You can see here at the DBAP, they've got the cover on the baseball diamond. They're getting ready for baseball at the end of this month. It's the home opener. Oh, it doesn't look or feel like it there right now. 51 is our current temperature. We'll climb into the mid-50s for this afternoon. We take a look at temperatures across the area. Still holding in the 40s up in Roxborough and South Hill. Everybody else, for the most part, is in the low 50s right now. Climbing into the mid to upper 50s for this afternoon, which is still, you know, on the chilly side. And the sunshine is back tomorrow, but it stays chilly. If you're headed out to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Raleigh, at 10 o'clock, parade kicks off with temperatures in the mid 40s. It will be sunny, but it's also going to be breezy along with the chill. Our temperatures as we head through the afternoon likely to be in the low to mid 50s. Let's take a look at the winds. They'll be strongest in the morning. We'll see some gusts at 25 to 30 miles per hour, and then those wind gusts begin to ease up a little bit as we get into the afternoon. So here's our weekend outlook. We're looking at showers ending now. Temperatures climbing into the mid-50s. We'll see gray skies for much of the day. And again, there could be a little bit of lingering drizzle. Saturday looks nice and bright, but it will be breezy and cool at 58. And then Sunday, 47 for the high. And we'll see showers that develop, and they'll be with us on and off during the day. We're going to walk through the timeline for Sunday coming up. We also have some cold mornings on the way. Tomorrow morning, 38, 37 Sunday, 34 Tuesday, 31 on Wednesday. And it may be that the National Weather Service issues some frost advisories, maybe even some freeze warnings for us, especially by the middle of next week. And apparently there are strawberries that are starting to bloom a little bit. So farmers are certainly going to do what they can to help to save those. Around here, they usually have the fans that blow, or they'll spray them with water, which will seal them with temperatures at 32. And it takes, you know, about 28 degrees for it to harm the plants. So interesting how they protect them from the cold temperatures. On Saturday night, don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. We're looking at rain on and off on Sunday, possibly into early Monday. We're going to walk through the timeline of that coming up in just a bit.
I like the warm-up trend at the end of the week. Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, tonight on WREL, an exclusive interview with the person in charge of our nation's highways. At 5:30, what he says about projects already underway in our state and what could be next.
Then at 6, WREL investigates street racing in the Triangle, how often it happens and what officials are doing about it. Meantime, still ahead this noon, AI could be a good starting point when booking your travel plans, but don't rely on the technology for all your arrangements. Coming up, the limitations that could leave you less than satisfied. Also,
you know, rent was mad, and even if I found somewhere that was in my price zone, then there'd be 100 other people also looking for that room.
You might call it home sweet dumpster, the extreme measure one artist is taking to draw attention to the rent crisis.
When wandering through Durham's Greenway trails, you may run into a life-sized dinosaur. This long-necked dino called Bronto is more than 70 feet long and over 50 years old. He was once part of the Durham Museum of Life and Science before their old dinosaur trail was destroyed by time and later Hurricane Fran. The one remaining piece of that trail, though, can be found in the woods of Durham, peeking through the trees and overgrowth. If you want more information about this, you can search Hidden History on WRL.com.
That's pretty cool looking. Tickets for this year's Dreamville Music Festival are officially sold out, but there's still an option to join a wait list on the festival's website. The event sold out a little more than a week after the lineup was announced. The two-day festival is set for April 1st and 2nd. Some of the artists featured include Usher, Drake, and Fayetteville's own J. Cole, who created the event. The event typically draws tens of thousands of music fans right to Dix Park. And the Girl Scout cookie shortage is growing worse. One of the Scout's baking partners had to halt production last weekend due to a power outage at its Kentucky factory. That's just the latest in a series of production delays that have caused a shortage of some of the cookie flavors. Two flavors have been particularly hard hit: the new limited edition Raspberry Rally and the longtime favorite, my favorite, Samoas. If you have to have them, you should check eBay. Boxes of Raspberry Rally are listed at close to $30 a box. Girl Scout cookies, they typically sell for $5 a box.
Yeah, that's quite a markup.
Yeah.
If you're planning your next vacation, you might want to stick with tried and true methods. A report found ChatGPT and Bing's AI-assisted search engine can help with broad plans like finding cheap vacation hotspots, but it may provide inaccurate information on specific questions like hotel amenities. The creators of ChatGPT say the public version of the chatbot doesn't search the internet for answers. Microsoft says Bing's search engine relies on results from the web, which could be incorrect. If you've ever felt frustrated after speaking with a customer service agent, try reaching one. Surveyors question people about big ticket items that can alter your household's lifestyle, like an issue with the car, your dishwasher, your cable TV. They found more people are complaining. In 1976, about 32% of Americans reported that they experienced a product or service problem in the last 12 months. Today, that number is 74%.
Well, these are not typical smoke detectors. As these test devices, they detect vape smoke. There are where some school officials are testing them out. Plus,
really what makes you strong is realizing your own weaknesses and fighting them.
In our next half hour, the quest to fit in could result in an eating disorder for some adolescents, a struggle to find treatment for young men.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Safety will be top of mind tomorrow as families gather along Fayetteville Street in Raleigh for the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade. This will be the first since the Raleigh Christmas Parade, where an 11-year-old girl died while marching with her dance troupe. WRAL's Naya Harden explains the new safety rules in place to keep you and your family safe.
If you're downtown, you're going to start seeing these no parking signs.
Well, we expect the parade to be the same. The rules for those participating have changed. Drivers must be 21 and up and licensed. Only one passenger who is at least 18 can be in vehicles. Minors have to be supervised, and parade vehicles must be up to date on registrations and have insurance. The new rules come after 11-year-old Haley Brooks was struck and killed by an out-of-control pickup truck that lost use of its brakes while she was dancing in the Raleigh Christmas Parade. Those participating feel the rule changes were needed.
Just given the history of what has happened with parades in the past, in the last couple of years, I think it's important for Raleigh, the city of Raleigh, to have all these regulations in place.
Saturday's parade begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. We've got information for you on the WRAL News app. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
You'll notice a big change at red lights in downtown Raleigh by the end of the month, and it's all in the name of safety. City Council just approved a measure banning drivers from turning right on red. Data obtained by WRAL uncovered 114 crashes involving people since March 2018. 62 of them happened at intersections with stoplights. Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin hopes this new rule can prevent future crashes.
We all have to be committed as a community to making our community safe. It's as simple as that.
City leaders are hoping the red light cameras already in place can help them with enforcement. Raleigh police are searching for the person who shot two men outside a Biscuitville restaurant in North Raleigh. We first brought you this as breaking news yesterday morning. It happened just before 6 a.m. yesterday on Wake Forest Road near Hodges Road. You can see the windows of the SUV were shot out. One of the victims is in serious condition. The other is expected to survive. Witnesses say this stemmed from an incident on Paula Street. Police have not named the shooter, but call this an isolated incident, and there's no continuing danger to the public.
School social workers from around the state are gathering today to push for higher pay. The state's School Social Workers Association is meeting in Cary for its annual spring conference. One of the big items on the agenda is advocating for extra pay for workers who have master's degrees. The association says school social workers are leaving the profession at an increasing rate because of low pay.
We're knocking on doors, we're finding children, we're holding, we're hugging, and we're sharing love and support. And so for you, whoever, we just want you to understand the importance of what we do, the passion that we carry and what we do. If people can understand that and give us what we deserve, that's all that we ask.
State lawmakers eliminated that extra pay 10 years ago, saying workers should be paid based on performance, not credentials. And we'll get a clearer picture today of the timeline to find a new superintendent for Wake County Schools. The Board of Education is holding a special meeting today to discuss the replacement for Caddy Moore, who is retiring on July 1st. They'll focus on how to advertise her job posting, how soon they want to hold interviews, and how the community can weigh in before a final decision is made. Today's meeting is at 2:30.
School administrators, even many students, say vaping is one of the biggest problems inside local high schools. Now some Northern Virginia schools are trying something new to deter students. They're installing vape detecting devices. Julie Carey shows us how they work.
These are the devices just activated this week in two Stafford County high schools. They're called fly sense, as in fly on the wall. As this demo video shows, they're typically placed in bathrooms or locker rooms where they can detect vape smoke. Then through an app, an alert is sent to school administrators or security staff. They can then confront the student offender. James Stemple was a principal before he became Stafford School's executive director of constituent services.
I said 21 years as a principal, this is probably one of the biggest problems I've seen that we've had to deal with.
But it's not just administrators and teachers worried about vaping. At a recent meeting, the school board's student representative sharing results of a survey in which vaping emerged as the number one concern. Stemple says vaping jeopardizes student health and disrupts instruction.
It's an addictive problem. The kids need to leave class to hit their vape. Julie, we've had kids in class trying to vape in class.
Demand for the vape detectors on the rise. The CEO of one company that makes them says after several months of use, many school districts see results.
And typically we will find an 85% to 90% reduction on vaping on campus.
The first day the detectors were activated this week in Stafford, there were five vape seizures. And at Colonial Forge High School, one student, a repeat offender, was charged with a misdemeanor for having a vape pen with THC. Most students who are caught will face suspensions. Right now, Stafford administrators view this as a trial period to see if the detectors curb vaping.
That's the hope, that it would be a deterrent to the behavior.
One thing the detectors have already done underscored the scope of the problem. The challenge right now, keeping up with all the alerts they're getting.
Duke is the last local team standing in the ACC tournament. The Blue Devils' ACC tournament hopes are still alive after they took down Pittsburgh yesterday. Duke pulled out to a big lead early and never let up, coming away with a 96-69 win. Tip-off for their semifinal game tonight against Miami is set for 7 o'clock. The winner of that game will play the winner of Virginia and Clemson in the finals on Saturday night. And WREL's live coverage of the tournament will continue today from Greensboro. Brent Neese will join the WREL sports team for pre- and post-game coverage of Duke's game tonight.
Coming up, it's an issue that often gets overlooked, eating disorders in boys. What experts say is the key to combating this issue?
And rent prices are at an all-time high right now. We'll take you across the pond to London to show you how one man is choosing to live. And you can watch WREL News live anytime on WREL.com or the WREL app on your streaming device.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, just before we came on the air for a new newscast, the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously voted to declassify the information related to the origins of COVID-19. Now, the bill now heads to President Biden's desk. The COVID-19 Origin Act also passed the U.S. Senate last week by unanimous consent. Now, there's been ongoing debate as to whether the virus was leaked from a lab in China. The Energy Department recently concluded with low confidence that was likely. Well, declassifying this information will help give us a lot more answers about the origins of this virus.
Millions of small toys sold over the last 20 years are being recalled because of a choking hazard. The U.S. Product Safety Commission is recalling calico critters sold with a baby bottle and pacifiers after two children choked to death while playing with them. The toys have been on the market since 2000. Most were sold at Walmart and on Amazon. You can contact the company if you have these products.
Boys and eating disorders. It's an issue that often doesn't get the attention it deserves. About one in three people struggling with an eating disorder is male, but experts say they're severely underdiagnosed. Savannah Sellers spoke with one family trying to get their son the help he needs.
At just 17 years old, Ryan has been struggling with his body image for close to a decade.
It first kind of was just like, oh, I'm too big.
In sixth grade, Ryan began skipping snacks and dessert. He joined the wrestling team and over the next 2 years started to restrict even more.
There was a lot of cutting your weight to get to lower weight classes.
By eighth grade, food consumed his thoughts.
I was thinking about eating every day, every meal, either like guilt or, you know, dreading a meal.
The change in Ryan's physical appearance was dramatic.
This here is one.
Freshman year.
You're a lot thinner.
Yeah.
Still, it took years for Ryan to seek medical treatment for his eating disorder.
I thought it was just a girl thing.
When did you think, okay, maybe it can apply to boys too?
Wouldn't be until I started treatment.
Even doctors struggle to identify male patients, in part because they have no roadmap to do so.
99% of the research up until now has focused on females.
Dr. Jason Nagata is an eating disorder specialist at UCSF, pushing for guidelines specifically focused on boys and men. He says no eating disorder accounts for boys trying to bulk up, and until 2020, to be diagnosed with anorexia, a person had to miss at least three periods.
Especially with athletes, they're doing the exact same things that girls, you know, with eating disorders are doing to try to meet these weight cutoffs. But it's viewed as normal because everyone on the team is doing it.
Ryan's mom, Carrie, never saw this coming.
I really thought, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this with my daughter. And it ended up being Ryan. It just, that was very surprising.
Of Savannah Sellers reporting. So what do you do if you suspect your child may have an eating disorder? Ask them if they can to open up about it. Learn about their disorder. Avoid discussing topics on food and the body. Get professional counseling. One place to start is the National Eating Disorders Helpline. We've provided that number here for you on your screen, 800-931-2237.
at a certain point, you start to realize, like, the postal service is in cahoots here.
Hundreds of letters to Spider-Man from around the world now make up a special exhibit. Why one address was chosen by so many fans.
Also, new plans for an old amusement park that has sat dormant since Hurricane Katrina. What developers are planning to put on that site.
You are looking live at a gloomy Lake Gaston. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
A special exhibit at a museum in Brooklyn pays tribute to Marvel Comics' web-slinging superhero. Children and adults from around the world flooded one address for messages for decades. Some question why that home was chosen out of all the addresses in America. The Parker family moved into 20 Ingram Street in Forest Hills, Queens in 1974. Peter Parker's home address, though, is 20 Ingram Street. It wasn't revealed until 1989.
You had to be a true fan that's following it from issue to issue to see the subsequent issue where you actually see the other half of the change of address form and you get to put those two pieces together.
So comic book writers deny any connection. Some think they wanted the story to be authentic and maybe picked a name and address out of the phone book.
Interesting.
It
the
is.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, really cool. All right, let's talk about the weather outside. Not so cool today. It was a little gloomy out there, a little rainy. But that rain is slowly moving out, which
yeah,
is the good news.
Elizabeth Gardner's over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We've had this moving our way, but the cold sticks around.
It does. Temperatures are in the low 50s right now, and we're going to see 50s through the weekend, except Sunday when we see another round of rain. Highs are going to be in the 40s. So the cool weather is sticking around. This is a look at where we have rain right now moving out of our viewing area. Now, there could be a little sprinkle, maybe a little drizzle, and maybe one last shower that comes through later on this evening, maybe after dinner time. But for the most part, that's it. Moving on out, just one last little bit there in the eastern part of Edgecombe County, and then we're really done with this. You can see it's moved all the way out of Smithfield, Benson, Dunn, Fayetteville and Clinton. We take a look at how much rainfall we saw over the last 24 hours or so. Some of the heavier rainfall showing up in blue was anywhere from a half an inch to three quarters of an inch, and that was kind of scattered around the Triangle area, mainly in Wake County, some of that in southern Franklin County and parts of Johnston County as well. So there were some spots. Anything that's showing up in green was more like a tenth to a quarter of an inch, and so that's what we saw widespread. But again, right around parts of Wake County, we had as much as half an inch to three quarters of an inch. We're going to add to that again as we get into the day on Sunday. We'll walk through the timeline in just a few minutes. Taking a look at Goldsboro, it's still damp out there. We still have water on the camera lens here in Apex. It is possible that even though the rain has moved out, that we'll see a little bit of drizzle in places. Drizzle is typically a very small particle, much, much smaller than a raindrop, and radar is designed to see those raindrops. So sometimes we'll see a little drizzle that doesn't show up. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, definitely looking wet. And the sidewalk in front of our Fayetteville newsroom is wet as well right now. It'll take a bit for everything to dry out. We've had some thunderstorms with this system, but they've been well to our south along the cold front. We're not likely to see any of that here. Again, we're watching that rain just pick up and move right on out. We'll see clearing and drying overnight tonight and a beautiful sunny day Saturday, but it is going to be blustery. Winds gusting tomorrow morning, 25 to 30 miles per hour. And then the rain rolls back in on Sunday. It's a very good chance for rain, but it's likely to be fairly scattered. Here's a look at future cast. We'll see everything clearing out, maybe even a few breaks in the clouds by the time we get to 5 or 6 o'clock, and then maybe a quick sprinkle up around Rocky Mount, up through the Virginia line, and that would happen around 9 o'clock or so. After that, clearing skies. Saturday, 8 a.m., looking good. At lunchtime, we're nice and clear, and we're clear into the evening before we see more cloud cover rolling in. You can see some showers that begin around 7 or 8 a.m. It is likely that we'll have some wintry precipitation well to our west and to our north. It wouldn't be out of the question up around South Hill or Roxborough to see maybe a snowflake mixing in with some of that rain, but nothing that's going to cause us any problems, and most folks won't even see that. At 1 o'clock, you can see a stronger band of rain that moves through, but that's not the end of it. Notice at 8 o'clock, it keeps on going. We may even have some showers on Monday morning. Of course, Saturday looks nice and dry. If you're headed out to the Hurricanes game, we should be dry at 5 o'clock, fairly cool at 56 degrees, and rainfall that we see on Sunday, we can see an additional half an inch to three quarters of an inch additional for what we've already seen. We spring forward, of course, on Saturday. Don't forget to set those clocks ahead. It'll be a little wet to start Monday, and then we're drier Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with the warmest day of the next seven being Thursday at 64.
Thanks, Elizabeth. An amusement park that's been sitting dormant for nearly 20 years could soon get new life. What developers plan to put on the site of this old Six Flags park that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina? We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. WRL has confirmed a data leak at UNC Chapel Hill exposed more than 1,000 Social Security numbers. The university says human error played a role in tax forms that were sent to the wrong people. UNC is offering credit monitoring and a year of identity theft protection to anyone that leak impacted.
New at noon, deputies have identified the man they say drove a car into the terminal at Wilmington International Airport. Trey Anthony Dvorak faces several state and federal charges. They include assault with a deadly weapon on a government official and speeding to elude arrest. Deputies say he drove through a fence at the airport and onto the tarmac last night.
Four people are expected to be okay after their medical helicopter crashed in western North Carolina. This crash happened last night in Macon County, right near the Georgia border. A health system out of Tennessee says the helicopter was taking a patient along with three crew members to Mission Hospital in Asheville when it went down.
An artist in London is so concerned about the city's rent crisis, he actually built a house inside a dumpster and plans to live there for a year. In Britain, the dumpster is called a skip. That's what they call it. The 28-year-old says that living in a house that's situated in a dumpster is the only way he can afford to live in an area near where he works. He says one of his favorite parts of the design is the curved roof.
The skip provided me the kind of opportunity to make my own tiny little house in something which I can pick up, I can move, relocate, and again kind of show that juxtaposition of a house inside something which should never be lived in.
He lives in a dumpster. An arts charity is letting him put his skip on their land. There is a drawback. While there's a portable bathroom, he has to shower elsewhere, work or the gym.
First time in nearly 40 decades, Americans bought more vinyl records than CDs in 2022. The recording industry of America says roughly 41 million vinyl albums were sold last year compared to 33 million CDs. The popularity of vinyl records is fueled by indie rock fans who prefer its sound quality. Young people also appreciate the nostalgia of playing records. This is the 17th consecutive year of growth. And for more than 17 years, a former Six Flags park in New Orleans has been abandoned. New developers, though, now believe they can revive it with a new project. The park was submerged in up to 7 feet of water, and it took over a month for it to drain. Six Flags said 80% of the park was beyond repair, so the city of New Orleans took it over in 2009. Now, this week, leaders agreed on plans that would create a family-friendly destination with a sports complex, hotel, and water park.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Our pet of the day is looking for a special family who doesn't mind that she's a little different than others. In return, she'll give you all of her love. This is Victoria. She's 1 year old. She has a condition that affects coordination and balance. And as a result, she can't walk. So she scoots herself around for the most part. But don't be fooled. It doesn't slow her down one bit. She is full of spirit and pizzazz. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
She keeps a good attitude, just scooting around there. Certainly cute enough.
I know, she's adorable.
Highway racing is common in Wake County.
WRAL investigates how many drivers were charged in our area and what areas are more prone to see spontaneous car racing. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a safe weekend and a great Friday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.